Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, Merry Christmas.
This is Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
And we just have a great little episode
yes,
in our back pocket.
Yes, we do.
You know, I love Christmas. We've talked about this the last couple weeks, yes. But I love Christmas.
I know you
it's
do.
It's such a fun time, but I have a confession.
Okay.
I couldn't do it without my wife.
Oh,
she is currently
wrapping all the presents.
It's just busy. It's busy, but it's good. It's
yes,
fun.
Yes, very good.
We have three kids. So when you have kids, if you've had kids, you still have kids.
Yes,
but
I
it's
do.
Just different.
Well,
but when you have little kids, you feel like you're making Christmas magic.
Yes,
and you're like,
yeah. And kids do love to unwrap things.
They do.
As our kids got older, I just, you know, I handed them the Dick's bag.
What?
The Dick's bag, like the whatever bag, GameStop, whatever. I just hand them the bag.
Okay.
I did.
That's so funny.
As they got older,
I
stopped rapping. I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah, you're tired. Rapped. You did your rapping. Listen, here's what I keep saying.
Okay.
First of all, you're Dickens Village. I'm still not over it.
Still lingering in your mind.
I'm not over it. Yeah. And the train that has smoke.
Yes.
But once those little baby grandkids
I feel like your
Christmas is going to change.
It's going to change. It's already changed. You know it's already changed since you've known me.
No, 100%.
And I was talking to somebody the other day that lives near me, and he said, oh, you're the house with all the white Christmas lights. And
That's you.
Oh, yeah, that is. Oh,
that's you. You're getting a reputation as Miss Christmas in Worcester.
I don't think I'd go that far. What's your good day?
You're getting there. My good day is all the days. You know, it is December 25th, and in the past week, people have come into town. Our friends Emma and Adrian, who live in New York City.
You moved into your new building at school?
Yeah, we moved. If you're friends with me in the socials, we moved into a new building at school.
Which is amazing.
A huge building. It's beautiful.
My tax dollars at work.
No, thank you for voting. My sister and her husband and their kids from South Carolina came, and there was like a fresh blanket of snow their first day here, which was so great. Luca celebrated his birthday. We took a bunch of kids to laser tag. It felt like 1999.
He's 11.
I know, he's 11.
I remember when he was born.
I know, that little boy. And so we've just been doing all the Christmas things, and it's all running together, and it's so fun.
Yes.
I'm eating Christmas cookies and Ben Hagee's chocolates for breakfast.
Yes.
Ben Hagee's,
if you are listening. I was just there the other day.
We do love Ben Hagee's chocolates as well.
Oh, I was just there. Listen, as far as my good days, I don't want to talk about it.
Is something happening?
I just don't.
Why?
I don't have a full good day since
I don't either.
Podcast.
Mine's
really
just
don't.
little moments.
And I'm like, I would like to say that my shopping day, you know, I went shopping and I texted you. I wanted that to be my good day. Like in my mind, I was like, oh, this could
I'm actually offended. Since our last podcast, we had a good day together that you could choose from. We went and saw a movie together with Mallory and Mel and our friend Abby.
Again, that wasn't the whole day. I will say that was my good moment. That was my good pocket of time. We went to Wicked. It was so fun. I can already tell that Abby, I would be friends with her.
Oh, yeah. You would love her.
She's funny, witty, fat. I've decided something about myself this year. I love
Friends.
That's true. I love fast-witted people.
Yes.
People that are witty quickly.
Right.
Like, they're like, you say something, and they're like, they say something, and you're like, oh, that's funny. Mm-hmm. I love that. And she is one of those people. Yeah. I can tell. She's got quick
We brought
wit.
Along our friend Nurse Abby from school
Nurse
to
Abby.
Watch Wicked
oh, we've
with
already
us.
Got a name for her, Nurse
that's
Abby.
That's what everybody at school calls
is
her
Nurse
Abby.
Is she the school nurse?
Yeah, she's the RN in our district.
All right.
So we brought Nurse Abby with us.
And our friend Mel.
Wicked, and our friend Mel.
Yeah.
And Mallory and us.
It was
the
so,
five
it
of
was
us
so good. And Wicked was so good. I want to see it again.
We're already planning. Yeah. We're actually taking our kids.
Yeah. I feel like
if you have opinions about kids seeing Wickeds, do not come into my DM.
Wickeds?
Wickeds,
plural.
Wickeds. The Wickeds. if you have an opinion about our children seeing it, our kids love musicals. They love musical theater yes. kind of thing. So we're going. So.
Well, and what I was going to say was, you know, I planned the shopping day by myself and I'm like, this is going to be a good day. It was not.
Why?
I hated it.
Was it that really rainy day?
I hated every second of it. It was rainy. It was so crowded. Mm-hmm. The traffic. I went to Canton, Ohio, which is the home of the Football Hall of Fame.
Canton, if you are listening, we need a little more infrastructure.
we need more infrastructure. Oh, my word. It was a zoo.
It's wild up there.
It was a zoo. I was like, get me home.
Get me to Worcester.
Now. In fact, I stood in the middle of Dick's and started ordering things on Amazon.
You sure are bringing up Dick's a lot.
Dick's. If you are listening.
No, I'm not calling out Dick's. I don't want Dick's to listen to me.
Why?
Because it just feels funny.
It feels, it feels sexual.
Sexual.
All right. Listen,
well,
we've talked
I also had a shopping day that I was like, I told Mallory, okay, I'm going to go do a little bit of running around. And it was like rainy and wet and cold.
No.
And like, you know, those days, I don't want to run in and out of the car.
No, listen, this is why Amazon is making a bazillion dollars.
Listen. If there's someone I want to talk to, Amazon, if you are listening, Jeff, if someone knows Jeff, please send him the link to our podcast because I would love to talk about a sponsorship with Jeff Bezos.
Yes, because let me just tell you, I stood in the middle of Dick's and ordered Christmas presents.
I don't blame you.
This is terrible.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And it was just, it was not a pleasant experience. It was not a good day. And I was like, I thought this was going to be my good day.
But then we totally redeemed ourselves with Wicked.
We did.
Here's what I do need to talk about Wicked here for a second.
Okay. All right.
Because Wicked, I love musical theater.
I know you do.
I do not love movie musicals sometimes.
I know.
Sometimes I get disappointed.
I know.
Sometimes I'm like, why did we pick the movie star and not the people that do it on Broadway times a week?
It was not disappointing.
I was not disappointed at all.
What they added
to the storyline was perfect.
And needed. Actually needed. I felt like I learned things. And I saw Wicked on Broadway in New York City twice.
Yeah.
And I feel like I learned things from this movie.
Agree. Like her childhood was a part of it. Some of her powers were a part of
Even
it.
Even the animals, I didn't really get that on Broadway.
The first time,
really
it was good. And then the two main people were Cynthia Aviro, who is from Broadway.
Which I saw my first time seeing Wicked on Broadway. She was
nice.
She was Elphaba.
And then Ariana Grande, who is not necessarily a Broadway person. So I was hesitant.
Wait, did you name the person that originally did Elphaba on Broadway?
Idina Menzel.
Yes, that's who I saw.
Oh, Idina Menzel was original.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But Ariana Grande, I was hesitant because, you know, she's
too.
A pop star where you're like,
can she act?
Can she?
Oh, yes.
She was incredible.
So good.
Incredible. So if you're not a Wicked fan, you might be a fan of the movie.
Listen,
I know people that have seen it 3 or 4 times
already. Listen, we have talked about Wicked and we have talked about Dick's and we're getting ready to do an episode on Jesus.
Well, listen, that is literally our life.
Here we go.
Hey, before we start talking about our topic today, you have an idea.
I do. I just feel, I was, this morning I was in the shower and I was like, it would be so funny or enlightening if we would share and really prompt people listening to think about two things that you did in 2024 that you were not planning on. Two habits, two things. And I have one funny one and one serious one. These are things that I developed in 2024 that were not on my list. They showed up nowhere.
Yeah.
The first one.
On your bingo. I like when people say this was not on my bingo card
my
for
bingo
2024.
Card. I'm going to share the serious one first. You all probably know what I'm going to say because you've heard me talk about it. I started plugging my phone in the bathroom away from the bedroom. I mean.
And it's been life changing for
you.
Is that
really
fair to say?
Yeah.
Life changing?
It really has helped me so much.
Well,
it's
your husband is impressed with your sleep habits right now.
Yeah. I'm getting up earlier.
Yeah.
Every morning I'm getting up earlier.
Wild.
And I don't do any kind of scrolling in bed. I had learned, even though it felt like a treat.
Has the lack of scrolling affected magic time with Daryl? Was the phone in the way of your smooching?
No.
Okay, that's
not
good.
Really, no. The phone was more in the way of shutting my brain down.
Gotcha.
Like calming my brain down.
Gotcha.
And even when I wake up in the morning, I wake up just, I don't know, less rushed or less with my brain running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I go downstairs and put her around and the phone is still plugged up in the bathroom.
That's
fascinating. Yeah, so that's the first thing. The second thing...
Well, can I say one more thing about
yes.
that? People, because you, for your business, if you want to call it that, spend quite a bit of time on Instagram, people probably think you have phone in hand all the time. You really don't.
No.
Like, you are not a phone addicted person. You're intentional with, like, I'm going to post a couple stories. I'm going to put it down.
Yes.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But,
and then, you know, and then I put it away.
And you know who else is like that? Carlos Whitaker.
Yeah, Carlos Whitaker.
That's impressive
like that.
To me about
yeah.
Carlos.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Second thing, I've started a 2-scrub ritual. Which means, oh, listen, anybody over 50 is going to,
I don't know, what are we scrubbing?
Anybody over 50, anybody over 50 is going to be like, yeah, you're right. When you get older, you start being more aware of smells of yourself.
I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, no, don't be uncomfortable.
Okay.
So what I've started is I put plenty of soap on my loofah. I scrub my armpit, rinse it off, scrub it again. It's 2-scrub. I do a 2-scrub on the
Listen.
Armpits because I don't want to smell stinky.
Yeah.
I don't want to smell BOE.
No.
I'm 56.
We know.
And
I
I've started a 2-scrub. Those are my two things that were not on my bingo card.
I have, I would like to piggyback off of your 2-scrub ritual.
Okay.
Do you remember a couple months ago I brought up Panoxyl?
Yes.
I've been using Panoxyl on my armpits and I like it.
Okay.
Panoxyl is a product. I follow some dermatologist on Instagram and he said, I don't necessarily have this problem.
Okay.
But he said, if you have sweaty armpits and sweaty feet, Panoxyl will help with that problem.
Panoxyl.
Listen.
If you are listening, the bell's on fire.
It is. Panoxyl is, I got it on Amazon, and it's the highest,
So it's just for
Selictic
your,
acid.
Oh, so it's just for your pits and your feet?
Well, people, I think teenagers use it on their face to cut out like oil. Like if you have really oily skin, it cuts that out. But I've been using it in my armpits.
Let me just tell you, 2-scrub ritual, it works.
Yeah.
Get rid of any stinkiness and you can just start fresh.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. I actually made a list while we were sitting here about all the things I didn't think.
All right.
This is not our year in review. Maybe that should be our next one.
Maybe.
But two things. I'm just going to pick two for right now.
Okay.
Is the first one is I didn't expect to grow a beard. It just kind of happened.
You did not like it.
I know. Listen, women of a certain age have been saying things like, hey, I'm not trying to be awkward, but I really like your beard.
Wow.
And I'm like, Mallory.
Mallory, get out the boxing
Mallory
gloves.
Mallory Barons. They're coming for me.
They better
back
off.
I don't know if it's like my I have like slight dimples.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If my slight dimples are accentuated with the beard.
Right. Okay, maybe.
Or if it's like a pheromone thing that
I don't know
a lot about.
Yeah,
or if it's like a lumberjack fantasy. I don't know. I don't understand it. But I'm like, okay, it's just hair on my face.
I don't know. Maybe they're visualizing you in your too tight jammies.
Okay. That's actually rude. I don't have too tight jammies on right now, but listen, we'll see. We'll see. We do have to record before Christmas Day, so we'll have to see if I get some too tight jammies under the tree.
We'll have to see.
Here's another thing. I did not expect to get into 3D printing with my children.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either.
Me either. It caught me by surprise.
You look like a print shop here in your downstairs.
That's true.
There's a corner that looks like there's lots of things.
There's
being
filaments. There's heated plates. We're making things. I took a...
And I know Luca is loving it.
I know he's loving it. Something I love about our area is we have some retired engineers and some people that have money.
Mm-hmm.
That do things like teach kids how to use technology and printers.
Yes.
So Luca and Fitz and I took a 3D printer class that was a $200 class, but you came home with a $250 printer. Now that math ain't mathing. That math is not mathing.
That's awesome.
And so it's truly like a bunch of retired engineers that
get
together and teach people how to do some of these things. And they love it. And we've been printing pencil cups and sculptures.
Listen,
and
I've always said
Christmas
you're techie.
Ornaments.
You deny it, but you really are. You really do have a knack for it.
I can do it, but it brings me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, you can't tell.
So, yeah. Well, that's great. Well, Butrin helps. Awesome. Well, those are my two things. It's
right,
been a year.
There.
Awesome. Hey, well, we wanted to talk on this day.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this would drop on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And Christmas is an important day for us in our faith.
Yes.
And the time around Christmas, I don't know about you, but I do get really reflective.
Yes.
And really thoughtful about.
And the whole Advent, you know, the whole Advent thing.
There's our church does Advent.
And there's so many great pieces of literature out there on Advent. I'm reading Anne Voskamp's Advent.
I love hers.
And it's so good.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk a little bit about Jesus.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked about him at length
on
our podcast.
No, not really. We've talked about our faith some, but we haven't really talked about the person of Jesus. Now listen, we were discussing this topic and you said what?
I said, it makes me a little nervous to talk about this.
Yeah. Which, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. I think for me, this kind of goes back to church hurt, right. Mm-hmm. is I think people think that you have to talk about Jesus a certain way.
Right.
And if it's not the way that they think it needs to be, then it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that there's a right way. I mean, this can go really deep. There's a right way to live versus a wrong way to live.
Yeah,
there's a right way to accept Jesus into your heart. There's a certain way you say it, like a magical prayer versus not. And then if you're not, you're not actually saved.
And then you're graded on your spirituality.
100%.
Like your level of spiritualness is up for judgment.
Well, if you've been around These Are Good mm-hmm. Days at any length of time, for any length of time, we do allude to Jesus, but we also allude to cigarettes.
Yes.
And we also, I mean, there's other things we talk about too.
So we're humans. I did smoke a cigarette in 2024.
That was not on my bingo card for you.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, that also, the amount of time we've spent talking about that was also not on my bingo card. So I think talking about Jesus at length, especially a whole podcast that has that focus, I've been thinking about it for a couple of days because we decided to talk about it, and it just brings me a little bit of, I'm not going to say anxiety, but just a little hesitation because I don't know who's listening to this, and I don't know where everybody's come from or what their experience with Jesus is like.
Right.
But I think that's the beauty of Jesus is he meets you where you are.
Right.
And it's truly not as cookie cutter as we've been led to believe.
And listen, let's also think about the interactions Jesus had in the Bible that we have available to us to read.
Right.
So many of the interactions he had were with a cross section of people.
Absolutely.
Like people in way many different walks of life.
Yeah. Do you know the Cher song, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves? It reminds me of that song. Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. You know that song?
No, I do not. But I don't know. I need to play it on Spotify.
But that's like who Jesus hung out with.
Yeah.
Jesus hung out with the lowest of the low. And kind of refuted the religious hypocrites.
Well, and when we say hang out, he basically, his interactions were with people that were very, I don't know, unexpected.
Right.
And here's something I've been thinking about and what I want to say is our son, Joey, our youngest son, Joey, was born on November 26th, 25 years ago. Mm. And when I think about that day, I just have little like screenshots in my mind, like little things that I remember, but I don't remember that day fully. I just remember, I remember certain things about that day, but it was 25 years ago. It feels long ago. It feels like my memory doesn't hold everything that the day held.
Right.
When we talk about Jesus and his birth, we weren't even there.
Right.
And it's been so long ago and there's a written account of it. So we have been brought up, we have been in a culture or in a society that has shown us pictures and plays and church sermons that have painted a picture in our minds of what that day looked like. Mm. We know what we know from the written word.
Right.
But I think we have glorified it so much because when we think about Amish country, we think about the pockets of the little villages with all the barns and all the people. And and we think about the reality of a young man and a young woman coming into a town with the pregnant woman on the donkey looking for a place to stay.
Right.
It is not what we are telling today.
Right.
Like we're telling this like just idyllic, kind of glorified story of it. When if we think about it in true reality, it was just these two kids looking for a place to sleep and this innkeeper being like, hey, well, I've got a stall in the barn. He wasn't thinking like, I am getting ready to
put the Son of God is in my barn.
Right, right.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
And also, that's one thing I've been thinking is that, you know, we just have this picture and we have these visuals that have been placed in our minds by so many other people along the way, right? I've also been thinking about when I think of Jesus and when I think about what he is, and this is what I said to you when we talked about doing this episode, like, who is Jesus in our day-to-day life?
Right.
Like, who is, who, what is the reality of Jesus in our life? Not like this, not a storybook version, not a from the pulpit version of a, you know, big fancy church. Like, who is Jesus when we're on our boots on the ground every day? Who is he? So who is he to you? Like, boots on the ground every day. Yeah. Like, what's it look like for you?
Yeah. Well, I think for me, I can't talk about Jesus without talking about where it started for me. And so for me, where it started was in my home of origin. And so I was thinking about, you know, this, I was really thinking about John 3:16, which I know is going to sound so simple, but isn't Jesus simple? Like, the concept of Jesus should be simple.
Right.
And I think we've overcomplicated it. You know, John 3:16 is that verse that we always, many people know, whether you have a religious background or upbringing or not, but it's, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And I was raised clearly memorizing that verse as I have now. But as I've gotten older and as I've read around that, do you know what John 3:17 is? John 3:17 is, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world.
But to save it, right?
But to save it. How have we missed that? And I think as a child, I was drawn to Jesus because I heard the story of him coming to earth, how much he loved us. And truthfully, what got me was that God the Father would send his son as a sacrifice. Mm-hmm, and I thought, man, my parents love me a lot. And I can't imagine allowing your child to leave your home to be a sacrifice for other people. But as I've gotten older, truthfully, if I'm really being gut honest, often some of my interactions with people portraying Jesus has a lot to do with condemnation. And the older I've gotten, the more tender I've gotten towards Jesus in that regard. And like, man, he was full of compassion. For me, if I look at the thread of Jesus through my life into the day to day, often it has to do with crisis, which might not, listen, if my fears come true, that people could judge and say, oh man, you only lean on Jesus in moments of crisis. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that crisis is where I remember. Like, you know, if you look back at the year, you remember big stuff. So for me, I leverage Jesus so much in moments of crisis.
Yeah. Oh, right.
But also, I leverage Jesus in those tender, quiet moments where I'm like, hey, how should I respond in this moment?
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes for me, you know, we've had some big stuff happen in my life. And so Jesus has been a source of comfort, a source of hope and guidance, a source of direction. And I think in the day to day, the teachings of Jesus and the way that he modeled how we treated people is really what affects my day to day. Like, I think something that
like
was
kind of like who you want to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, it became a cultural phenomenon for a reason, but what would Jesus do?
I like that.
I know it became, people might think it's silly, but the thought, what would Jesus do, is actually a great thought, because it's, how would Jesus treat people? What would he say? You know, in those situations where you're with someone that's challenging or you're in a tense situation, what would Jesus truly do to love that person, I think does guide my direction and my day to day.
I also think when it comes to looking at other people who are in a faith circle, I think a good litmus test, it's not judgment, but a good thing to observe is, what's their life like?
Right.
Like, how do they love people? How they go about their interactions with others? Like, how do they truly treat the people closest to them? Or how do they treat the waiter at a restaurant or the person bagging their groceries? Like, because I do think those things are what what the Bible calls fruit. You know, 100%. I think, you know, a good tree bears good fruit and
right.
a bad tree can't bear good fruit. So right. I do think that those are things we can observe. For me in my day to day, I was thinking about this. I was like, okay, who is Jesus in my day to day? And I think for me, it's like I don't want to call it a friendship because that seems so basic, but I do feel like it's a relationship where I'm like, hey, do you see what's happening? Mm. Do you see what's happening with our life? Do you see what decisions are being made around us or pertaining to us? And will you help us?
Yeah.
Like it, and as far as Jesus in crisis, I feel like that's when my life changed, is with crisis, with my relationship. It makes me emotional. And there was some guilt and shame I needed to get over with that, because I was like, here I am saying, help me, when I feel like I haven't really made you a priority.
Right.
So after that, and that was during a time when we went through a really hard time with my family. After that, after the prayer closet, and after, you know, feeling I was becoming super close with the Lord, I started feeling like it was a daily, daily, like, check-in, like, and then when really great things started happening, we had some people speak some awesome stuff. That's another thing. When you interact with people who are prophetic or if you're listening and you're not sure what that word is, it's like when people have this like gifting where they see something in your life on the spiritual side of things and they say, this is, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this.
Right.
We had people speak those things over us that really did come true.
Right.
And when they started coming true, I was able to sit and in my relationship, instead of feeling like 911 help, I was able to say, this is you.
Yeah.
And I know this is you, and I want to stop and I want to say thank you, and I want to honor this moment of my faith, that in the good I am thanking you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where when we talk about gratitude journals and we talk about saying what we're thankful for, as it pertains to my faith, that's what that means to me.
100%.
Like, I'm not saying I'm thankful for my home because we did it. I'm saying I am thankful for the following, because I know that in my faith and with my relationship with Jesus, that this is you. This involves you.
Right.
Now, with that, has there been disappointment? Yes. I feel like we don't talk about when we're disappointed in Jesus enough, because there are times we are disappointed. There are times that I think we can look around and say, hey, were you not here when this happened?
100%.
Like, why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you make this different?
Right.
Why didn't you do something to so this could be avoided? You know, I've known people who were so strong in their faith. I've had two people that I've known in my lifetime that truly died still believing that God was going to heal their bodies, and he didn't.
Right.
Now, what we could say is, oh yes, he did. He made their bodies whole, and they're in heaven, and they understand it all now. But while they were here, they wanted to be here longer, and they believed he was going to heal their bodies, make them whole, and give them more years on earth with their families, and it did not happen.
Right.
How disappointing.
Right.
And how hard to understand.
Yeah.
And I think we should say out loud, I am so disappointed in you, Lord. I don't understand, because I feel that's where he comes into our heart and he starts to reveal things and dig around and show us things about us that are important to our faith. I think to try to tell God what you think he wants to hear is so silly, because he knows us so completely. Mm-hmm.
He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I think, you know, the Bible shows us in Psalm with David. David was probably one of the first people to me that just like said what he was thinking and really took it to the Lord.
And he also did really bad things.
He did. And the other thing is that when you were speaking that I was thinking about is in the Bible, there are instances where people say, God, forgive me for my unbelief and strengthen my faith and help me understand and help me believe. I think the complex part about God is we have worked so hard to try to understand him. But if we for me, if I understood the complexities of God, then he's no longer God.
Right.
And
right.
so some right. of that, like, you know, humankind will wonder, why do you know those questions? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why weren't our friends that were mm-hmm. so devoted mm-hmm. and committed followers mm-hmm. of Christ, why weren't they healed on this side
right.
of heaven?
Right.
I think we will go to the grave wondering those yes. things, but that's the complexities that make God, God.
Yes.
Where we can't wrap our head around all of it.
Yes. And I have come to not like phrases like God knows.
Right.
He
right.
knows.
Right.
You know, he's got the, you know, trust him. He knows. Well, you know what? Sometimes that's just not enough.
Right.
Sometimes mm-hmm. in the disappointment and in the not knowing, you can say you're mad.
Right.
You know?
Totally.
Right.
Well, and I think some of those phrases there, I think we've talked about this before. There's good intention.
Yes.
Because I think
yes.
if I say to you,
yes.
if we're in a conversation about Amy passing away.
Yes.
And your frustration, and I said, God knows versus, oh, God knows.
Yes.
God knows.
Yeah. Yes.
God knows your anger.
Yes.
God knows
yes.
your heartache. Some of it just has to do with how we treat each other and
right.
how we project
right.
Jesus on
right.
each other.
Right.
And I think that for me
right.
is some of the hurt.
Yes.
Because some of the hurt.
I would agree with that.
I
yes.
think we talked about this with Kelly Brownlee, our pastor friend. The hurt that we experience with Jesus and with church, if we really boil it down, doesn't have to do with Jesus
yes,
at all.
At all.
It has to do with how we project Jesus onto each other.
Yeah.
And how we project our ideas of what our faith should look like on each other.
That's true.
And so I think for me, when I have my moments where I feel like I'm not frustrated with the Lord, it's usually frustrated in people portraying him a certain way that I don't necessarily
yes,
agree
like,
with.
I think that brings up a good point. I think if we're sitting somewhere and we are arguing about what we believe the Bible says about the LGBTQ community, and we're
right.
fighting about that, we are missing a very big point of the gospel.
Absolutely.
And of Jesus.
Absolutely.
I don't want to fight about it anymore, Matt.
No.
I don't want to argue about it anymore. You know, one of my favorite memories with Amy, and we would laugh about it, is one of our biggest fights. Like we got into some disagreements as friends, but one of our biggest fights, we were both so mad, was over Proverbs. And then after it was said and done, we just thought it was so ironic and so funny that the thing that we fought about in our friendship was over a book of the Bible. But I think it's a good lesson.
Yeah.
I think if that's where you're going to hang your hat with, especially even in friendship, like we need to learn how to disagree and just keep right on going.
100%.
We need to learn how to say, I am affirming, I am not affirming, but still love each other and
right.
be friends.
Right.
And not disagree over what we say is the answer for the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't think it's as black and white as people want to make it. I don't,
right.
I think it's simple. Yes. But I don't think it's like, well, Jesus said this, and so this is how that looks.
Right.
Maybe not. You
right.
know, maybe you aren't, you know, maybe you aren't the expert to know
well,
that.
Well, I think for me, you know, when you look at Old Testament, New Testament, so the Old Testament was all about the law. So the Ten Commandments, the laws that were given through the priests, and there was so much guidance over how to live, how to worship,
how to eat.
Yeah, how to eat. I mean, not to be weird, but how women should handle their menstrual cycles.
Mm-hmm.
That's in
mm-hmm.
the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those things. And then when Jesus came, Jesus, to some degree, don't come in my DMs if you don't agree with this, Jesus threw a lot of that out the window
yeah.
and said, my greatest commandment is to love one another.
Right.
And I think sometimes we get hung up on the nuance.
Otherwise, everybody would still be wearing coverings when they pray.
Right, right. And I think sometimes we can get hung up on the nuance of little things that mm-hmm. we want to make a
right.
decision about.
Right.
And I think, you know, I'm almost 40 years old.
I know.
It's coming up. But the older that I get, Mallory and I say this, is we're getting way, way more comfortable with the gray areas of
yeah.
our faith.
Yeah, me too.
That I am at a place in my life where I'm comfortable saying, I don't know, But what I do know is that I need to love people.
Yes, that's so good.
I don't know the answer, but what I do know is that that's not how I think people should be treated. Yes. And I think that the older that I get, the more that I struggle with people that are so firm and outspoken about their faith, maybe on Facebook or shouting it from a rooftop. But then I see them maybe at work.
Right.
Maybe in public,
in, maybe in
the community,
in their friendships or in their marriages.
I'm like, but oh, wait, whoa, you said all of that on Facebook or publicly or whatever.
Right.
But I, in the little things, like the way that you spoke to me or the way that I see you speak to your boss or 100%. Your husband or your spouse or your children, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
And you might be hearing that and saying, wow, that's really judgmental of you, Matt. But I also do think there's something to be said for just living your faith out and not having to say it all.
Correct. Because
for me, I would rather be known as someone that loves well and is kind to people and treats people with respect and honor and loves them like Jesus would than someone that knows how to make these broad brushstroke statements about faith or the Lord
or
and
politics.
Not love people well.
Right.
So for me, I think it's better in my life, the way that Jesus has impacted my life is he's like, hey, let's talk less about it and let's just live it out.
Okay. This is the perfect place for me to share a verse that has just been ringing in my head probably for 2 years. And I keep going back to it and back to it and back to it. And I've written it out and I want to read it. And I think that's how we can wrap.
Yeah.
Here it is. And this is out of the Message. I love the Message translation because sometimes it just speaks to me in a very simple way. Mm. And so this is out of the Message. And it's Romans 12:1-2. And the title up above the chapter is Place Your Life Before God. So here is what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants you to do and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Mm-hmm. So for me, I just want God in my everyday life to show me what I need to do. I want to quickly do it and respond to it. And I want Him to just keep cultivating maturity in me and helping me love people well and helping me do what I feel He wants me to do. Mm. And even that includes loving how to love people.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, we're not into New Year's resolutions around here, but that in this moment just made me look forward to what this year holds for me.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Is that I would give my life to God.
Yeah.
To mature it,
yeah.
To continue to refine it, so that He's in control.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
That was good. That was good for me.
Let's talk about food. Wow, that was a very big jump.
That was big.
No, that was big.
That was big.
I want to know what you're doing with food right now. Right now, I mean, Christmas, we're here.
Well, I'm
going to
be
happening?
Really, really honest
okay,
with you.
Okay, I want to hear it.
When you came to my home,
yes,
I was eating leftover cold lo mein.
That is true.
Prior to that, I was eating Christmas cookies. So there's not a lot happening. We're foraging.
Yes.
We're eating what's on the counter.
Okay, yeah, all right.
But here's what I will say. We have some big events coming up for... Well, we're recording this on December 23rd.
Yes.
The next few days, the next week, are full of events with food and with family and with fun. All the F words, except the one.
The bad one. Except for the bad one.
Oh, and the Jesus episode. We, you know, what I love about us is we just pop in and out. We just pop off queen, you know? But here's what I was thinking about with Walnut Creek Foods right now. We're at the end of the year.
Yes.
Where I don't know about y'all, but we kind of do a little reassessment. New gifts come in the house, old things go out.
Yeah, that's good.
We start looking ahead to what we need. And I was thinking about how Walnut Creek cheese, if you are in a place of reorganizing, or, you know, if you are a New Year's resolution person, okay, and I affirm that for you.
Okay.
Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek, Ohio has a really great kitchen store to help you get organized, to help you.
They carry Vitamix. They carry Bosch mixers.
I love a good Bosch.
Bosch mixers. They carry Lodge, the iron skillets.
Enamel.
They carry OXO. They carry a lot of really great brands and a lot of gadgets.
Yes.
It's really a great place.
So I know this is the time of year for us where we take stock of like, okay, we got a, Don't tell Remy, but she's getting a Barbie dream house for Christmas.
That's awesome.
It's the only thing she asked for. And we're taking stock.
I want one too.
Well, listen, you might need to wait till next Black Friday. We're kind of taking stock of what's in our house right now. So I think if you're in that mode where you're like, oh, I need to kind of reorganize my kitchen or reorganize this, Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek has some great organizing tools, kitchenwares to help you. And listen, if you got a gift card to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, I hope you did. That's a great place to buy some of those little appliances that maybe you've been thinking about.
Okay, let me tell you real quick what is on my mind with Walnut Creek Cheese and Market right now is their fresh deli, great lunch meats, great cheeses. I am making the poppy seed sticky buns.
Love them.
We're doing soup and salad with Amish Christmas, and they have the best off the bone ham. They kind of have a brown sugary mapley one that's kind of sweet, and then they have a double smoked one layered on like really good dinner rolls with their Swiss cheese, which they carry just a mild Swiss cheese that's the square. You can get it sliced in any thickness you want.
That's
put
right.
that on, and then you just pour all that poppy seed, sticky
it's
honey.
Like honey.
It's
honey
so
mustard.
Good.
It's so good.
So good. And then you bake them, and they're just all melty and
I love
delicious.
That.
Yeah.
That's so,
so
good.
So, you know, we want to just take this opportunity to say thank you to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods. We are so grateful for our relationship with them, but we are so grateful that we can truly talk about them and truly represent them in a way that is authentic and true, because we really do love them.
Listen, this is what I love about them being our sponsor the most.
Oh, yeah.
Is this wasn't like some Instagram ad that we were like, hey, can you be our sponsor?
We ain't pretending here.
No, there's no faking. So, yes, we love Walnut Creek Cheese and Market.
We do.
Again, if you don't have Walnut Creek, if you're not within driving distance where you're like, I can make a trip to Ohio, we have listeners literally all around the world. We have people in Australia. We have people, I don't know where they ship. So if you're in Australia, don't come at me.
Yeah, I don't know that.
But here's what I can say. If you're around the country around the United States, you can go to Walnut Creek Cheese or Walnut Creek Foods rather and put in the store locator to see a store in your area that carries some of their products.
Listen, Walnut Creek Cheese, Walnut Creek Foods, we are so glad you are listening.
Yes. Hey, well, thank you so much in joining us in this conversation all about Jesus. And for sticking with us, because if I'm being honest, this is something very personal to me, and it's a personal thing to talk about. And I think after going through this, the last 43 minutes of talking about Jesus, this isn't going to be my last time.
No,
I think he's going to come up next year.
I think so too.
Awesome. Hey, well, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are
good
days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.